From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, liberals fears post-Roe, pregnant woman is violent rhetoric, and while Biden's inflation numbers continue to rise, life and religious liberty have been upheld by the courts. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. Earlier this week, the Senate leadership decided to hold hearings on the ability of women to have access to abortions in a post-Roe world. On Wednesday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins was joined by Senator Roger Marshall, who is a physician, to talk about the hysterical rhetoric being spread by the left. Here's Tony Perkins.
Dr. Marshall, welcome back to the program. Always great to see you.
Tony, it's great to see you as well.
You spoke passionately for the cause of life today in the Senate committee. In fact, you kind of took the lead in that hearing. What is your overall impression of the hearing from today?
Well, Tony, first of all, let me thank you and FRC for helping me out. We were notified of this hearing maybe 2 days ago. And as I started doing my research, one of their arguments is having an abortion is safer than having a baby. And I just got to tell you, I had writer's block. I didn't know what. How do you respond to such an absurd statement? But your research team gave me great ammunition. And what you pointed out that, look, Washington, D.C. has the most liberal pro-abortion laws in the land, but they also have the highest maternal mortality rates. What a great fact to push back on him, saying, look, more abortions is not the solution to this problem. So thank you for your research team. And my overall take on this is they are fear-mongering. They are lying through their teeth. And it doesn't, once you even point out the lie, they just double down on it. So they are trying to function at the emotional level and pulling down women with them. And of course, just no respect at all for the unborn baby.
I mean, several myths that they are pushing out there, Senator, and you kind of took them down one by one. But one is that, now women who have ectopic pregnancies or they have miscarriages, they're going to be denied health care.
Right. So that's their scare tactic. They're trying to scare women and tell them they're not going to be taken care of. But look, I've never performed an abortion. I'm a pro-life physician, but I've taken care of hundreds of women with ectopic pregnancies and hundreds more with miscarriages. Of course, we're going to take care of them. In our residency training, we were taught, don't let the sun set on an ectopic pregnancy. So our physicians will continue to take care of women with these problems in the emergency room. We'll do it hopefully before it becomes, immediately life-threatening. Every trigger law out there maintains protection for the life of the mother.
Yeah, and when you are, the mother is the first patient. You're trying to help the mother, and if in the process the baby expires, that's not an abortion. You are working to save the life of the mother. And as you said, these are scare tactics that they're using. But I'm going to talk later about the dangers here with the abortion pill that this administration is pushing, that those who have an ectopic pregnancy might not know it and may die as a result of not having that face-to-face medical counsel with a doctor. I want to go back to your first point about right where we're at here in Washington, D.C., where they have some of the most liberal. In fact, they want to expand it even further. They're having council meetings this week actually discussing that. But you have put forth an area where we could have common ground. And that is the prenatal care, making sure that these mothers have access to the health care and the needs that they have, whether nutritional or whatever. Can we not find common ground with the Democrats on that?
I sure hope so, Tony. And this is where your listeners are so good at helping out. There are excellent community centers out there, prenatal clinics that are helping moms. And it's way more than just what I can do as an obstetrician. These young moms need social support. They need nutritional support. They just need help. We want them to finish their education. A whole lot of things that we can do to give them an emotional support. And we had a clinic called the Stanton Clinic here today that's from Idaho, but there are four family clinics like that to every Planned Parenthood clinic. So we're doing it. We can do more. We can do more to help impact this high maternal mortality. The number one thing we could do is to get pregnant moms in for early prenatal care and then regular prenatal care as well.
So the Democrats are so focused on this. It's unbelievable. But the cons, I mentioned earlier, the contrast between the two ideologies has never been clearer. You've got one celebrating a court decision that allows people to help mothers make the choice to bring a child to life. Others, you have wanting to celebrate the right of a woman to abort her child and end its life. The Democrats pushing in this week for another vote to try to codify Roe v. Wade into law in the House. It'll go back over to the Senate. What does it look like in the Senate now?
Well, Tony, they're not going to have 60 votes to do anything right now. Particularly on this issue, there might be a couple Republicans to vote for something, but it'll take 60. But then they're going to try to attack the filibuster again. And you've done a good job educating your listeners on the filibuster. And I won't go through that again. But once again, I think we'll be able to stop it thanks to the filibuster.
By the way, you represent Kansas. I'm going to be coming to Kansas here very shortly to help promote the Value Them Both campaign. This Kansas is going to be the first state where voters will weigh in on abortion post-Roe with a constitutional amendment. Explain that to our listeners and our viewers.
Well, first of all, vote yes on Value Them Both. We value both the life and of the mother and the baby. Very briefly, the Kansas Supreme Court, de novo, decided that women have a constitutional right to an abortion, and they voided all of the protections we had given to both the mom and the unborn baby. So this constitutional amendment will come to a vote August the 2nd. We encourage people to vote yes, to value them both. And this is how upset the White House is about it. Last week, the White House hosted an event with Kansas state legislatures, helping them with a strategy to defeat this. So now Joe Biden not only wants to give us 9% inflation, drive up groceries and our gas prices, but now he wants to get involved in the Kansas constitutional amendments. So thank you for doing it, Tony. We appreciate it. And again, we encourage everybody to vote yes to value both the mom and the baby.
Yeah, so folks, be sure. And early voting starts actually this week. And so if you're early voting, make sure you vote for this constitutional amendment, Value Them Both. And of course, talk to your family and friends. There's a website there as well. It looks pretty good, but I think, Senator, as always, it's going to come down to turnout.
You know, absolutely. I don't know how it's looking, to be honest. The Democrats are going to pull out all the stops right now. Tony, this is a spiritual battle for the soul of the nation right now. God is letting us see how bad things could look. And I wake up some days thinking this is Sodom and Gomorrah. But God's going to give us a chance. And like you said, this is the first chance to push back on the Democrats. And that's why it is so important that we do get out and vote. It's a primary election. Typically, Democrats don't turn out for primaries. But we have every reason to turn out. Every Kansan has every reason. Just think of all those unborn babies that we're helping to protect.
And we're certainly going to encourage them to do just that. Dr. Roger Marshall, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today, and a great job in the committee today.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, folks, if you live in Kansas, and I know we've got a lot of our listeners in Kansas, make sure you're turning out to vote for Value Them Both constitutional amendment.
You can find out more about Roger Marshall when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And if you're from Kansas, be sure to vote for the Value Them Both Act. And while you're at TonyPerkins.com, look for the link to the Washington Stand news site that we launched last month. You'll find stories covering the same topics that we cover here on the program and even more. That's Washington Stand over at TonyPerkins.com.
Do you and your family feel equipped to give a reason for the hope that you have in today's culture? The mission of FRC's Online Center for Biblical Worldview is to train Christians in advancing faith in their communities in the public square, as now more than ever we need to be grounded in the truths of God's Word. To access a variety of free resources rooted in Scripture on topics like voting, religious liberty, abortion, and much more, head over to frc.org/worldview. Are you a university student, specifically one who wants to grow as a Christian leader to positively influence public policy and the culture? Look no further. Family Research Council has a life-changing 12 to 15-week internship program that will give you real-world experience working directly with our experts who will guide you in pursuing careers of influence so you can make an impact wherever God calls. This paid internship offers fully funded housing in downtown DC. Visit frc.org/internships to apply.
Did you know that pornography, sex trafficking, and abortion are all linked and on the rise across the globe? Issues such as pornography, human trafficking, drug legalization, and abortion are all violations of human dignity and have resulted in the devaluation of human life in our culture. Educate yourself on the harms of these issues so that you can offer hope. Learn more at frc.org/life.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Good to have you with us. All right, we're going to be joined by Senator Chuck Grassley a little bit. He's going to be weighing in on the record-breaking inflation, 9.1, the report released earlier this morning, 9.1% increase over last year. But first, the University of California, Berkeley, has been known over the decades as university system's most radically progressive, or I would say regressive, campus, espousing dangerous ideologies that generations of college students will carry forth. But Berkeley School of Law professor Kara Bridges stands apart with her Senate testimony yesterday. Listen to this exchange between her and Senator Josh Hawley.
I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing them.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think men can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist.
Oh wow! I still can't believe that this is actually happened. Well, joining me to set the record straight on this is Dr. Laura Haynes, a licensed psychologist. Dr. Haynes, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right. This is just, it's kind of crazy. We're even having these conversations, but, you know, can a biological man get pregnant?
Well, I can't conceive of a way that a biological man can conceive a baby.
So this was a part of her launching into this idea that because the senator recognizes biology and that a man cannot get pregnant, he's somehow acting violently toward transgender people, which causes them to commit suicide. So yeah. You're a licensed psychologist. You've done years of training in your profession. Is stating a mere biological reality that a man cannot become pregnant an actual act of violence?
Well, Tony, there's a view out there that you have to affirm people who have gender incongruent identity, and you have to give them gender affirming treatments, or they will be suicidal. But it just doesn't stand up to research. The best long-term research we have, in fact, comes out of the Netherlands, a study of 45 years, nearly half a century, of all adolescents and adults who went through the largest gender facility, university facility in the country. And this is one of the countries with the oldest history and experience with this. So over nearly half a century of increasing societal affirmation and gender-affirming treatments, the suicide rates of gender incongruent people continue to be several times higher than that of the population with little to no change. And in Sweden, people who had these gender treatments, hormones and surgeries, had 19 times higher rate of suicides than their peers from the population. And then another study in Sweden more recently found that those who had these treatments and those who didn't have these treatments, there was no difference in their psychiatric need for psychiatric services for psychological problems or in hospitalizations following suicide attempts.
So yeah, those are some really good points, Dr. Haynes, that, you know, we have these studies that give us some idea of what these types of treatments do or don't do. But is not one of the challenges we have right now is that we're not allowed to study these things. We have the left that is saying, oh, we can't do the research. We just have to accept what they're putting forth as the truth.
Well, actually, research is being done. It's just not being talked about. In fact, a very important point here is research coming out of the United States and Finland and some other places showing that actually these suicidality rates precede the onset of gender dysphoria in most adolescents. So we have a study in the United States from an HMO that had 8.8 million members. The study went over 6 years, 6 to 8 years. It looked at all adolescents and children who had gender incongruence, and it looked at their electronic medical records kept in real time. And they found that they had higher rates of psychiatric disorders, neurodevelopmental disabilities, suicidality, and self-injuring behavior before first medical record evidence of gender incongruence. In fact, a third of children had these conditions before gender incongruent evidence, and 71% of adolescent boys and 75% of adolescent girls. And similarly, in Finland, in one of their two gender facilities at a university, it was at a university, they found that looked at all the adolescents over 2 years who went through their university gender facility, and they found that 75% had psychiatric disorders. They were severe and seldom were secondary to their gender dysphoria. So suicidality that pre-exists gender dysphoria just can't be caused by failure to affirm them or give them puberty blockers or hormones or medical treatments. And not looking at this is dangerous and harmful to them.
Well, I would think that this only compounds the problem when we now have many states that are putting forth these counseling bans so that when a child comes out, a young person comes out and says, I'm transgender, I'm, you know, gender fluid, whatever, that they cannot get counseling. So what you're saying is there's underlying issues here that preceded the transgender, the gender dysphoria, that is much deeper. And now they can't touch it in many of these states.
It's being neglected. It's neglect and medical neglect. And it's based on a confusion that gender dysphoria is a biological inborn trait. Well, we know it isn't. The American Psychiatric Association says in its diagnostic and statistical manual that it is not an intersex condition of the brain. And there's a global consensus statement by endocrine societies around the world that says that there is no consistent evidence that the brains of gender incongruent people are different from the brains of gender congruent people. In fact, it says there is no biological marker for gender incongruence. There's no way someone can find something biological in a person that is biological incongruence, incongruent identity. They can't look at their brains. They can't give them a medical test. There's nothing biological they can find.
Wow. This is alarming that we're really playing with the life and well-being of an entire generation by playing politics with this. Dr. Haynes, I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank you for speaking out so clearly on this in a field of science, quite frankly, that's becoming very, very timid. And we're grateful for those voices of clarity.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Tony.
All right. Wow. That's alarming. They're just trying to, they're trapping these young people into these choices that are really a lot of, we've talked about this before, being driven a lot by social media forces. Anyway, I want to move on. I mentioned earlier in the program, but according to the Labor Department data released today, rising inflation surged past expectations in June to 9.1%. That's the highest in more than 40 years. Now, the president says fighting inflation is his top priority, but the actions of his administration certainly don't reflect it. Join me now to discuss this and more, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. He is the ranking member on the Senate Judiciary Committee, but he's also on the Senate Finance Committee. He was a part of a press conference earlier today with Republican colleagues speaking out on this issue. Senator, welcome back to the program.
I'm glad to be back with you. Thank you for having me.
Always good to see you, Senator. So your reaction to these latest inflation numbers?
Well, let me speak from the standpoint of Iowa on two respects. Number one, I've been hearing about cost of living and inflation at each one of my county meetings. I did 17 of them last week. And this is number one on people's minds. So after 9.1, even when we thought earlier this week it was going to go down, now it's up dramatically. I'm going to hear more about it. Secondly, latest figures say that it's costing Iowa families $670 a month more than when President Biden became president of the United States. So they shouldn't be talking about increasing taxes or more spending, feeding the fires of inflation. They should stop this Build Back Better effort that Schumer's trying to promote once again. And I hope Manchin and Sinema will stick fast to their previous opinions that we shouldn't be feeding the fires of inflation.
You know, the president says that focusing on inflation is his top priority. But his actions tell us a different story. I mean, every time I hear the president speaking, he's talking about trying to get abortion pills into people's hands. He's talking about, you know, his transgender agenda. He's talking about the left's social and radical energy policy through the Green Deal. What should the president be doing to get a handle on this?
He ought to be reversing the policies that he put in the first few months he was in office. Half of this 9% increase in inflation is directly related to his energy policies. And his energy policies is to shut down the production of energy in the United States. And when you have less of something, you're going to pay more for it. So if you want to get prices down, produce more. And we got the capability of producing more energy and biofuels and alternative energies of all kinds. But in regard to the energy you put in your car, he wants to stop that. So look at how silly it is that he's on his way, or maybe he's in Saudi Arabia right now asking them to send us more oil when we have it right here. You can't stop drilling and put more regulations on fracking and tell the banks not to loan money to energy companies and stop pipeline building without dramatic and drastic reaction in the economy. And you're seeing it now with 9% inflation. So just reverse that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not hard. It just takes a little common sense and willpower to stand up against the radical left. Before we run out of time, Senator Grassley, I don't think we've had a chance to talk since these historic Supreme Court decisions, the one overturning Roe v. Wade, the one regarding religious freedom with Coach Kennedy. I want to just say thank you. You're now the ranking member, but you were the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and you played a major role in leading to the current makeup of the court. I mean, this has to be a gratifying moment for you, despite all of the other stuff we're talking about.
There has been very dramatic movement that 6 years ago when I sat on Garland not having a hearing so he could be on the Supreme Court, not knowing that Trump was going to be elected, but following the precedent of that Democrats set that a new president ought to pick the people for the Supreme Court. We got Gorsuch and Kavanaugh I chaired. And then when Senator Sessions or Senator Graham was chairman of the committee, we got Barrett. And so we got a 63 court. And that shows up in several very important decisions, religious freedoms, putting clamps on bureaucrats through the West Virginia case, and then you've got the abortion case, and quite a string of victories. And I'm glad to be a part in getting the Supreme Court to what it is today.
Well, and as you mentioned, the nominations made by President Trump, and that's because you had a lot of pro-lifers that were voting and got involved in elections over the decades. President responded, but again, you and Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, making sure that these judges and justices were a top priority for the Senate. So I want to, on behalf of pro-life Americans, Senator Grassley, I want to thank you for your leadership.
And I've had a pro-life voting record my entire political career, and I'm proud of that because I think life in the womb is very much worth saving. And it's a shame that we devalue life the way it does, because that carries over to life outside the womb, that it's going to be easier to devalue that any life. And no person of religious convictions of any kind, but particularly born again Christians, should be aware of the fact that, and they are aware of the fact that life is precious in the womb or outside.
You're absolutely right. You cannot disconnect the two, and we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and look forward to working with you to continue to build this culture of life in our country. Senator Chuck Grassley.
We want to thank you for what you've done to promote pro-life issues as well, because you've been there as long as I have been doing that.
Well, I appreciate it. Always good to see you, Senator. Have a great evening.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Really, I mean, you look at what Mitch McConnell, Chuck Grassley, and some of those that you may not hear them out as, the tip of the spear for the conservative movement, but they were doing the hard work, and we would not be here without them. So really, I am very grateful, and I can tell you that truthfully from my vantage point here in D.C.,
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. I want to remind you to check out The Washington Stand for news and commentary from a uniquely Christian perspective. It's brought to you by Family Research Council in an effort to get you news that you can trust. I'm David Salkiel, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.